Now, some of you have been with us since we met right here in the Commons area at Clements High School. And we met here for nearly 2 years. We had a couple of Bring a Friend days right here. We filled lots of nooks and crannies in this high school. Particularly memorable were the Sunday morning worship services following a Saturday night dance that had been held here as helium balloons floated above our heads. And some of you have been with us since those days here at Clements High School. You were pivotal in shaping and forming the heart and purposes of this church. And to you, I'd like to say thank you as well. Thank you for every act of service in the name of Jesus and for your faithfulness to our church family over these many years. And some of you have been with us since our days right here in our old church facility located over on Sweetwater Boulevard. We moved in here in late June, June 28, 87, met here for about 13 years. And some of you came to us, God brought you to us during that 13-year chapter when we met here at Sweetwater Boulevard. And so I'm standing here in our old multi-purpose room. All kinds of things happened in here. All sorts of church fellowships and special events, VBSs, and of course every Sunday worship. The baptistry was right behind that screen. In fact, my two children were baptized right back there. This building served us well, and you have served us well. Some of you, like I say, you've been with our church for a long time. You were there during our days here at this place. Thank you for your years of faithful energy, finding out how you're designed to serve God and serving Him through our church family and serving our church family with the energy of Jesus. Hey, and some of you came to us right here in this facility at First Colony Boulevard. We moved in back in 2002 and had worship services just across the hallway there in our Family Life Center. And for some of you, that was your initial place of introduction to our church family. Some of you have become members over the last year since we've been in the worship center chapter in the life of our church, specifically 129 new members over the last year. Wherever your start point was, you may have been a charter member back at Settlers Way Elementary School. You may have been there at Clements High School. You may have been with us through the two phases at Sweetwater Boulevard. You may have been with us through that year of being nomads and pilgrims when we didn't really own anything. We're sort of waiting to get in here. Your introduction may have been the Family Life Center chapter, or you may have come to us over the last year. We're glad you're here. God brought you here. You have a role to play here. There are people for you to love and serve, and God has assignments for you. And together, we are the body of Christ, and what we have in common is the gospel of Jesus. It's the umbrella of grace that covers us all. We are one in the body, and we are one in the Holy Spirit. And so today we look back, not just for the purpose of nostalgia. We actually look back in our history for the purpose of looking ahead with energy and confidence, because we can say, thus far, the Lord has been good to us. Thus far, the Lord has been so very gracious to us, and we praise Him and we thank Him for every good deed and word, and we look forward to the future in confidence, believing that He will light it, that He will lead us, that He will guide us, that He'll show us the way.
Back in the days of the prophet Samuel, those Israelites were attacked by the Philistines, and in terror they cried out to Samuel, who made a sacrifice and prayed to the Lord. Whereupon the Lord caused a great thunderstorm, which so disoriented the Philistine army that the men of Israel came out and easily conquered them. In 1 Samuel 7:12, God records, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between the villages of Mizpah and Shin. He named it Ebenezer, saying, 'Thus far the Lord has helped us.'" Bow with me as we pray to him now. Throughout our history, Lord, your word records that you have been faithful to protect, to provide for, and bless your people who will come to you and call upon you in faith and love. Through many accounts of history, such as this one in Samuel, our own faith is strengthened by seeing how you have always been there for your people. Samuel's Ebenezer was a visual reminder of your faithfulness. And as First Colony marks and celebrates our 25th year of being your people, we too marvel at your faithfulness to us during this time. We can't help but thank you for being blessed with the strong leadership and preaching of our one and only evangelist, Ronnie Norman. For our strong elders, our wise spiritual leadership. For the families who have grown up in this church and now whose children worship with us. For this wonderful facility that you have provided, and for the mission-minded hearts of our congregation who are taking the gospel to our neighborhoods as well as into foreign countries. We pause this morning, and with this prayer, we recognize your bounty to us and thank you for all that you have given, protected, and developed in us here at First Colony. And as we look out into the future, Lord, we will not fear, but we will grow even more excited, for your word assures us of our future with you. And in the meantime, in this world, as we continue to look to you and trust in you and take your lead, we know that you have spiritual blessings in store for this church and for our homes and our families and for our neighborhoods. So we stand before you today to bless your name and thank you for 25 years of faithfulness to this church and express our love and the hope we have in our future as we strive to be like Christ, to serve and evangelize in the work you have for us to do at First Colony. Bless us, O Lord. Bless us as we recognize it is as true today as it was back then. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. And we offer this prayer in the holy name of your only Son, Jesus. Amen.
Randy, thank you so very, very much. 25 years ago, on our very first Sunday worship, I delivered a message from Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, entitled "The Church with an Open Door." And I talked about how open doors, an open door doesn't mean something is easy. It simply means something is an opportunity. And I still believe it's open. It's still open. That door is, those opportunities are still there for the people of God right here. And that's been 9,136 days ago, 1,305 Sundays ago. Let me say something very, very obvious, but it needs to be stated. And that is, I'm personally grateful for the elders, the staff, the deacons, the members of this church, past and present, who've modeled and demonstrated such an absolutely fantastic spirit over the years. This is a good place to find God. This is a good place to serve God. This is a good group in which to find encouragement and spiritual nourishment. It's a good group in which to raise children and which to find good, healthy spiritual role models. And I have a fond appreciation for those of you who were here 25 years ago, and I have a fond appreciation for those of you, and this is your very first day as a member with us. I want to make just a few comments, very brief, and they're based on something Jesus had to say out of Matthew chapter 22 when he was speaking to the religious movers and shakers of his day, two groups of people called the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And in essence, his message to those groups was, the last thing this world needs is one more Sadducee. And the last thing this world needs is one more Pharisee. And I think the Lord would say to churches and religious people today, look, the last thing this world needs is one more church like a Sadducee church. One more church like a Pharisee church. One more group, one more religious person out of that ilk. And here's what Jesus had to say to the Sadducees. He said, you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. And that's why we make no apology for saying that we want to be a church that embraces the scriptures, that knows the scriptures, that we are shaped by the Bible. Because ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Christ. And your life is never the same when you learn to hear and discuss and interact and apply the Bible. Now, it will take a posture of humility because there are some things here I don't like and I'll have to change my mind. There are some behaviors here that seek to correct me and I'll have to repent. There are some teachings here that I do not understand and I will have to be patient until Jesus clarifies them. And there are some very clear things the Lord will ask me to do that I do not understand for the life of me why he wants me to do that, and I will simply need to trust and obey. But the last thing this world needs is one more religious person not shaped by the scriptures. Yes, tradition has its place. Yes, reason has its place. Yes, experiences have their place, but the Supreme Court would be the scriptures. Jesus says to the Sadducees, you don't know the scriptures, neither do you know the power of God. My friends, let's continue to be a church where we lean into the power of God and we never underestimate the power of God. God has not lost his stuff. Let's continue to lean into faith, lean into hope, lean into a kind of expectation mentality so that we can just know when you're faced with a big decision, God can lead you through that maze. And when you're faced with a personal area of growth, God can give you a new heart. God can refresh your spirit. Orient your mind. Orient your thinking, not to worst case scenarios, but to a best case scenario. Because you just never underestimate the power of God and the power of God to show up in your life in a very practical way. Jesus says the last thing this world needs is one more Sadducee, not shaped by Scripture, underestimating the power of God. And then to the Pharisees, he said, and the last thing this world needs is one more church, one more religious person, one more group with dysfunctional motivations. And we all know that it's possible to do religious activities through all sorts of dysfunctional motivations, such as guilt, self-atonement, people-pleasing, control, greed, power, attention. Jesus says, enough with the low road motivations. The last thing this world needs is one more church with those kind of motivations, one more religious person with those kind of motivations. I'm asking you to aim higher. I'm asking you to aspire to the highest road motivation of all. And here's the way he says it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, not serve him out of guilt or out of wanting to get attention or power. No. Aspire to the high road of loving God with all of your being. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. Treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated. Aim and aspire to the high road of a love motivation. Hey, are you familiar with the name Armando Galarraga? This past Wednesday, he was on a pace to pitch only the 21st perfect game in Major League history. A perfect game is better than a shutout. It's better than a no-hitter. It's 27 batters faced, 27 batters retired. No hits, no hit batsman, no walks. He pitches for the Detroit Tigers. They're winning 3-0. It's the ninth inning. He has two outs. He's one out away from a perfect game when an umpire's botched call cost him a perfect game. And that's not just my opinion. The umpire himself, a man by the name of Jim Joyce, admitted as such. Not only did he admit it, he was so apologetic. He was emotionally apologetic. He said, "The biggest call in my umpiring career, and I botched it. I blew a perfect game for that kid. I thought the guy was safe, but when I watched the replay, he was out by a mile. I can't believe I cost that kid a perfect game." Did you see the replay? Did you see it? Watch this. Come to church, watch a little baseball, right?
Ground ball, right side. Cabrera will cut it off. Galarraga covers. He's out. No, he's safe. He is safe. He is safe at first base. And here comes Jim Leland. Jim Joyce said he was safe at first base. You make the call. Cabrera, Galarraga.
Did he miss the base? He's out. Why is he safe?
He must have missed the base.
Are you kidding me? Why is he safe?
You see right here.
Why is he safe? Oh, my goodness, Jim Joyce, no.
He's out. He's out. But what is so incredible is what happened next. And by the way, you always know that's the key question in your life, don't you? What's next? What's your next move? And what happened next was the pitcher who had every quote-unquote right to take a low road, the pitcher didn't pitch a fit. He didn't go into a rage. He didn't conduct some post-game interview and launch into a tirade and throw Jim Joyce under a bus. He said, "Umpires are human. Umpires make mistakes. He made a mistake. It'll be all right." And the next day, when the umpire, Jim Joyce, turned back up at the ballpark, this time he would be umpiring behind the plate, it was Armando Galarraga who walked out to deliver the opening lineup, to shake his hand and say, "No hard feelings," and to let everybody in that stadium know, "We treat this man with respect." A bad call happened in Detroit this past week, but something really good happened. Somebody chose a high road. And by the way, Little League coaches all week long have been going, "That's how you play the game. That's how you conduct yourself." That's a bad call happened, but somebody who could have taken a lower road chose a high road. And those who watched said, "Now that's worth noting." Gang, the last thing this world needs is one more church dysfunctionally motivated. Aim high. And to say to the world, "We want to offer you we're just trying to love God sincerely. And we want to be a place that in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can treat each other the way we want to be treated and love our neighbors as ourselves." And gang, if we can continue to listen to the Scriptures, and if we can continue to be a church that leans into the power of God and doesn't underestimate Him, and if we can continue to be a church that aims high and takes the high road, then we can always be a place of grace and renewal and hope. And what does God have for us next? I don't know. You don't know. None of us are in control of the future. This I do know. God's always up to something. He's always up to something good. He's always up to something redemptive. And it's our job to stay open, to stay available, to stay sensitive. And the message of Jesus to us is still, follow me, follow me. I want to challenge this church. Never let our posture be, okay, in our confidence, let's go out and do something great for God. Let's not let that be our posture. Let's let our posture be one of, out of our weakness, out of our brokenness, out of our humility, out of our complete and total surrender and dependence, let's say, God, would you do something in us, and would you do something through us? Here we are. We're available. The Word of God says this in Ephesians 3. Now to Him, not to us, but to Him, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can even ask or imagine, according to His power that is work within us, and to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Would you look at your worship program? You'll see a communication card. If you want one of the elders of this church to pray over a particular prayer request, please take a moment and write it down. If you want to talk to somebody here about membership or about baptism, please indicate so. And when you finish filling out that card, just pass it to the ends of the aisles, and our ushers will collect them in just a few moments. If you're still writing, take your time, but if it's convenient, why don't you go ahead and stand? I'll pray over us, and then we'll conclude with a song. Lord God, we do want to be like you. We want this whole church to radiate with your personality. We want to know even your grief and your tears for a broken world. But we also want to know your joy and your exhilaration and your laughter and your hope. And Jesus, we ask that you would cause everything that you dreamed of for this body of believers to come to pass. May your will be done. We yield ourselves up to you that it might be so. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.